Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, everybody. The podcast where you can hang out with some of your favorite dry bar comedians. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen. That's me.
And it's me, Jordan Macon. And they get to hang out with you too, Taylor.
That's nice.
It's not just about the guests. Sometimes it's about you.
And our friendship isn't just the podcast. It extends beyond.
We've hung out one time, but it feels like so many more.
Yeah. We made a lot of memories.
It really was a long night.
Hence all the memories.
Yeah, so many memories.
How are you doing today?
You know, I'm great. That seemed like I was going to go on a downward spiral, but no, I was just thinking about our hangout. Now I'm feeling really good. I'm excited for the podcast.
Me too.
Today, Taylor.
Me too. And what about me, though? Do you ever wonder how I'm doing?
Were you fishing? Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing great. Let's see. Anything new in my life?
Is there anything new in your life?
My wife is out of town. She went to Vegas for a bachelorette party.
Another one?
No, the same one. She's gone every weekend.
Well, no, because just to give you some context, listeners and viewers, your wife was supposed to come hang out with us too, but you said she was at a bachelorette party that night.
Yeah, that's just her go-to excuse when she doesn't want to do something.
I think it's fishy,
no,
man.
No, she legitimately was. That's funny. Both times. It's true.
Okay.
So it's me at home, and I've kind of... I'm eating only microwave foods and eating out more than I would usually.
Your house must be a disaster.
It truly is. I sent her pictures, and it stressed her out. But I think we should get to our guest
today. Yeah, I think we should too. I think we should.
They're so gosh darn good. Let's play the clip.
My dad, he was a football player, so I tried out for the football team. Longest hour of my life. Yeah. Did you play? You look like you played. Yeah. Because what they do, you know, is when you try out on the first day, they pair you up to see where you're at. And the first day, I got to go up against the brawny paper towel guy. You know, like, ninth grade, he's got a mustache. Paid child support. I don't know. He put his head down, and I put my head down, and then we collided, and I had this awakening, like, boy, like, oh, I'm a track and field guy.
Wow. Oh, thank you. Well, as you saw from that clip, you know him from a special, Joke's on Me, and he's here recording a second Dry Bar special tonight. Welcome, Jason Love, to the program.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
You okay here, Taylor? It's two bachelorette parties in Vegas?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be on the phone right now if I were you, Taylor. She's like with Magic Mike right now.
Yeah.
She's been gone for months,
I didn't know
actually.
She had that many friends, but it's like people I've never met, she's going to the bachelorette party. Yeah. It's starting not to add up.
Okay. I'll take her on her word. I'm sure it's completely innocent.
Yeah. Well, I'm not worried at all.
Have you ever worked Vegas?
Oh, yeah. I work at MGM, the Brad Garris Club.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Best club in Vegas, everybody. If you go, just one of the 700 clubs there. Brad Garris is the funniest guy in the world, man. And he worshipped Don Rickles, but I'm watching him work the room, and I'm like, he's just way better than Don Rickles, way better. And everybody's just doubled over. Nobody can breathe, and everybody gets their turn. Yeah, you can go see Brad Garris.
Okay, that's good to know. Cool. I've only been to clubs off the strip there because the Wise Guys, which is local around here, opened some comedy clubs down there.
You have two Wise Guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good club. I did Wise Guys.
Okay, cool. Yeah, those clubs are way fun.
Yeah, I like the people in Utah, too, because they can take anything. That you expect them to be, you know, kind of reserved, and they're not. They just don't, you know, they just want quality, you know?
Yeah. That's why they love Taylor on this podcast.
Quality.
What's out of nowhere?
Taking jabs, I guess. I'm sorry. She is.
Like best friends.
First,
do.
My wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor guy.
I tease those I love. So
that's nice.
Did you perform in Utah much before doing your dry bar special? Have you been here a lot?
I've done like one-nighters here for corporate. Uh-huh. But the only Dry Bar brought me to Provo, but this is super nice. We were talking about it. I mean, you walk out and you're in the postcard, and and you have Mormons walking around, which makes me feel safe. But then once in a while, you'll get that guy who lives in his RV with no windows. And I don't know. There are a couple people out there where I'm like, watch your back, folks. Roll them up.
You always have your Jordan Makins of the world.
Yes. But that's what I was trying to say. Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah,
I'll get you back.
I got you. Yeah, it is beautiful, and we have such – the mountains are just like towering
amazing
over you. It's
yeah, beautiful. It's humbling. It feels – you get that feeling when you go to Alaska. You just kind of feel small, and yet it's, you know, it's beautiful, and the people are so nice. I mean, they say hi when – like I live in California, like near L.A., so all I want is for somebody to say hello in return. That's all. Like when I smile, just smile. It doesn't even have to be teeth. Just give me a little acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
rare, hard to find these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, Utah's probably better at that than some places.
Yeah. I would think. Although a lot of the times if they're smiling at you, it's an MLM.
Yeah.
What are you going to give an MLM pitch? So be careful.
Yeah. They smile at you. What are you playing at?
Yeah.
Which is probably why people in LA don't smile back, is they don't trust each other as much.
For sure. For sure. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine from, a comedian friend from New York, and I love New York because it's all the most diversity that we have in the country, and they're all at peace with it. I don't feel any of that racial and gender stuff going on, but they're all like, he goes, we're not mean and we're not mad. Just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. And I'm like, that is so perfect. That is so me. Like, I'm not mad at you. They all have something to do.
Sure.
I love New York, man. I think I could live in New York.
Yeah,
even
I
though
love
I look
York
like
visit.
They'd eat me alive. I probably couldn't do it, but I'd like to. I'd like to try.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, Jason?
I grew up in California.
You were in California the whole time.
In the burbs, okay. In a cul-de-sac. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because I don't look like I should be, like a comedian, at least now. Now I probably look normal, but I don't know. As like the pretty boy, and you know, it didn't look like I had a hard time, but you can live in the burbs and you know, it still can be a rocky road. Cool. So,
what were some of the bumps?
I'm trying to, well, I don't want my mom to watch it. Yeah, my mom's great, she moved to Arizona. So now I have to, now she used to live down the street. Now in order to see my mom, I have to drive 8 hours through the desert with no turns or curves. Like, and all you have is your radio, and you start losing the stations one by one. And then you hit the seek button. You're like, come on, English.
Yeah, man, Arizona. Where in Arizona does she live?
She lives, you want her address?
Yeah.
Yeah, if possible.
She lives in Marana. It's by Tucson.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've spent a little bit of time in
You know Miranda?
Tucson. No. I haven't heard of that, but Tucson is an interesting place.
There was that one comedy club there, and I should probably keep it. I'm going to be positive.
No, we're all about dishing.
Go to Brad Garrett's comedy club in Vegas. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
Tucson has the their delicacy is that hot dog that's wrapped in bacon that's like a Mexican. What's it called? It's they're really good.
I'm trying to remember.
It was my main goal when I went
what
there.
Is it?
It's called Sonora?
Sonora dogs. You know this?
Yeah. It's unique to Tucson in particular, one city?
It's unique to, I think so. I think you can probably get it other places, but there's like multiple. It's like going to Nashville for hot chicken. There's like multiple Sonora dog places
bacon
in Tucson.
Bacon-wrapped hot dog. No, that sounds more like a fair thing, you know, like deep-fried Twinkies. And
yeah.
But then it's the dressing on it. Not dressing, but it's like Mexican stuff on it. It's not just like...
Do you want to elaborate on Mexican stuff?
I think what exactly do you mean by Mexican stuff? What do you mean by you people?
I'm just saying, what's the man? I'm gonna sound really uneducated. There's not really a way to dig myself out of this. The stuff that's like on the corn, you know the
masa,
the white stuff that's on like the corn, that's,
like mayo, like and Parmesan.
Is
cheese.
That mayo? I don't know what it is.
The Mexican stuff. Yeah, mayo. That's the best way to put it.
It's so funny how many things like are unique to Arizona when you think about it. Like in that area, they have a haboob, which is like a sandstorm. And then they have these little...
I've heard of that.
A haboob?
No. Oh, see, I'm
having fun and learning. I know. I had to ask twice, too. It's like a... like did you see the movie The Mummy, where that big thing comes in? That's like a mega haboob. But they have... I drove through one. It's like you can't see. You have to pull over.
Really?
The sand is so much. And then they have the little... chupacabra things,
javelina.
Javelina.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Tiny, one of those Mexican things.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Javelina.
Yeah, little they're little hogs that like terrorize the
yeah.
people's yards.
They just let them roam freely among the children. They come, they'll just be crossing the street. There are like eight of them. They look at you with fangs. Oh, like, how are we not hunting these things?
Yeah.
You could put them in your little hot dog.
The Sonora dogs. Maybe yeah, that's Sonora dogs. Maybe that's why they have the Sonora dogs.
Maybe that's the secret sauce. Yeah.
Man, Arizona sounds awesome. Now that we're outlining all, you know, the key features.
Tucson's also, just one more fun fact.
Please.
The only place in the United States where on the road signs it's both in Spanish and English.
The only place?
That's what I read. But Tucson, now that you're pushing me on it, I'm not totally
not
sure.
New Mexico?
But that, yeah, because I think there's a highway there that goes through the border. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah.
Fact check it at home, everyone, because
it's a rugged place. My mom lives in a nice little neighborhood, but the neighbor has a truck with bullet holes in it. Like they decided they would just shoot their car one day. Yeah. It's like an open carry state. You know what? That's kind of brilliant, though. Like, forget, protected by your Wise cameras or whatever. Just get a car with, like, protected by Smith & Wesson and bullet holes. They'll skip you. They'll go to the Prius next door.
I'll shoot my own car. You don't want to see what I'll do to you.
Yeah. Totally. That's it, man.
I love being down there. When I was there last time, I went to Old Tucson. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I've been to Old Tucson. Yeah,
is that within Tucson, or is it a completely different
like
city?
It's like a what I'm talking about is a theme park where it's like
I haven't been to that
town, and it's where like Tombstone was shot. A little bit of that was shot there, and Three Amigos. Some scenes from that were shot there. But it's kind of...
We were just talking about Tucson.
Yeah, that's weird.
How random. I was saying it's too violent for me now because I'm more sensitive and evolved. It used to be my favorite movie, and then I watched the opening scene, and I'm like, 22 people just got shot at a church. Like, what am I doing? I couldn't even get past that opening thing.
Yeah. I do love a good Western, though. Do you like that genre of movies?
Yeah, can you tell?
You have a Western rugged vibe.
This guy was turning into Ellen here. Yeah, you know, I like Wyatt Earp, like a little Kurt Russell. I like a little machismo, you know.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. It makes me feel more manly, I guess. For that,
awaken something inside of you that is a little maybe dormant.
Yeah, exactly. be the son my dad thought he was going to have.
Yeah. Do you like? I like High Noon. Have you ever seen High Noon?
I haven't seen High Noon.
Are you a big movie buff?
Not
real,
too much.
Real cinephile.
I'm a cinephile.
Or no, you're more of a TV guy. What's the TV word for that?
A prestige TV fan.
Homebody?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Pale person. I like movies a lot, obviously, and TV especially. I'm a film major.
Oh, wow.
So
look at you.
Whatever that means.
And that's why
it means you graduated podcasts. With film, right?
That is. Okay, thank you.
Have you made films?
I have only short films at this point, but I hope to get into TV writing. And
well, talk to me afterward. I'm actually just working on something with these guys in Big Bear. It's a film fest up there, and
awesome.
I'm in charge of just the comedian marquee guy. Last year it was Harlan Williams, and I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to tell you who. We might hit somebody pretty big this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That's screen
cool.
their stuff. Yeah.
That's great.
He made one called Cherub. Can I promote it on this?
Sure.
Cherub?
Yeah, Cherub that just came out on Valentine's Day.
Wait, you have somebody named Cherub?
No, that's what his movie was called.
Cherub.
Yeah, I made a short film called Cherub. It's like inspired by Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
The basic premise is that like a guy who can't fall in love, the cherub that's assigned to him to help him fall in love just decides to turn on him.
Oh.
Decides it's easier to just dispose of him rather than, you know, make him fall in love.
Oh, because that's pretty cool. Because he fed him after midnight?
The Gremlins analogy doesn't go all the way.
Oh, it's more the aesthetic of the cherub itself.
The turning on thing, yeah. The lovable monster.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of cool. Monster critter movie. Like of the 80s. Kind of.
I'm sure we can get Harlan Williams to buy into that. Give him part of that.
Speaking of TV, though, do you want to confess the thing you told me today about your TV watching habits? Or you not want that
No, we should not do that, man. That's such a terrible idea. You would even bring that up. That's criminal.
I thought it was a funny anecdote.
This will be cut. This will be cut from the podcast. Sorry. I'll tell you after.
We'll tell
I've bitten my tongue twice now where I did not share a couple of things just because we're in the VidAngel building.
Yeah.
I'm trying to respect the...
the aura here.
Yeah, the aura here.
This one wasn't a dirty thing. It was just a very illegal thing that Taylor likes to do.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. Just to say it so he knows, and then we can cut this. We'll go back.
I've gotten into the bad habit of having my phone on my dashboard,
mm-hmm.
and
I know in your car,
on my car,
yeah,
and just watching TV.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Yeah.
Is that a confession from you, or you've seen people?
Oh, if you know what, I drive now. I'm on the road a lot. I don't have to drive as much, but there was a time as a road dog, I was driving 60,000 miles a year,
yeah.
And the only thing keeping me alert was texting and watching stuff. If I hadn't done that, I would have fallen asleep and really done some damage. So,
oh man.
For me, though, I'd be like baseball, something that I don't have to pay complete attention to, but when it gets good, I can kind of, you know. And I knew where to put it, so you couldn't tell, you know. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, the problem with me comes up, because I like watching a lot of like dialogue-heavy shows, and a lot of TV is. Like, I'm watching Better Call Saul, now.
Love that.
And it's great when, like, you know, people are talking, lawyer stuff is happening, but when it goes to a Spanish only scene, I gotta look for the subtitles.
Yeah,
and that's when I almost, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, sorry I brought it up.
That was so entertaining. Maybe we just leave it in.
Keep it in and accept the consequences if any follow.
I know that the subtitle things are killing me. Like, I was watching the, you guys don't follow sports?
He does
a little bit. He's so what is your sport out here?
I mean, I'm a big basketball fan, Utah Jazz, but I follow NFL.
Oh yeah, you have the Jazz.
Yeah, that's our only. We have the Real Salt Lake.
We're getting a baseball team right too.
Are you really?
We're really pushing for baseball.
Get out.
And a hockey team.
Wow. Well, hockey I could see. Baseball, that would be awesome, man. Yeah, my dad texts me every day about Shohei Ohtani. Every day, he's so excited. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, I admire. You know, he's like our Babe Ruth, you know. Like he's like the best pitcher and the best hitter at the same time.
Yeah, which is amazing. Insane. Yeah, he's so fun to watch. Dodgers are. Yeah. Are you a Dodgers fan, or did your dad just text you about it?
What's that?
Are you an actual Dodgers fan?
Oh yeah, your dad. I watch him take second place every single year. It's great. I was doing a joke, but nobody got it because it was they're the Susan Lucci of baseball.
Exactly.
it's such a dated reference to begin with. You have to know soap operas because she was always the one in line for the award and she never got it. And the Dodgers are always supposed to win the World Series and never get it.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure it is funny because no one ever laughs, but I keep trying.
No, now I'm educated and I'll laugh. I have that reference in my brain.
So the Utah Jazz. So yeah, because Utah's known for its jazz.
It's really insane.
John Coltrane. When I was growing up in the mean streets of Salt Lake City, I just had to blow, man.
Downtown Salt Lake had a jazz club for a minute, and now it's a comedy club. But there's actually no
Wise
jazz.
Guys?
Really?
Yeah, where Wise Guys is was like a jazz club.
Which one?
The Salt Lake one. Wow. That's why that
is that the Jordan up. Landing one?
No, there's one in downtown. So like, it's really close to where the jazz play, actually. Yeah. Just in downtown.
Mm. And wait, what came first? The jazz club and then the jazz team, or the jazz team and then they're like, we need to retroactively justify.
I think those are retroactive. I don't think it lasted there for long. It was open for a little while.
Like the Lakers were originally from Michigan.
Yeah.
So then it makes sense. The Dodgers are actually from Brooklyn. It was the Trolley Dodgers. So that's how they got that.
So the jazz ones, because jazz were originally New Orleans jazz, so that makes more sense.
Okay, see? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like the Utah jazz, man.
But that one just sticks out like a sore thumb, because it's like, you don't think jazz music like, at all. And awesome. Without Los Angeles, like, well, there's probably a lake nearby somewhere.
No, there isn't. We have a city called Riverside where there's no river.
Yeah.
I mean, so might not call it Oceanside, as long as they're lying.
There's the hockey team in Provo is called the Provo Predators.
The Predators. Well, there's already a Predator team in the NHL.
I didn't know that.
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville.
Nashville Predators. Interesting. Yeah,
if you were a sports guy, you could keep up with us.
What's the
problem, Taylor?
Yeah.
Now, you should switch it to Better Call Saul and then blow us away.
What about, what's the mascot for the Predators team?
It's like a saber-toothed tiger, right?
Not a tiger. It's like a saber-tooth, one of those things. I don't know what animal. It's not a lion. It's like the thing that has the fangs.
Aren't they called saber-toothed tigers? Yeah, I'm making that up. Sure,
yeah. Oh, did you say tiger?
I said saber-toothed tiger.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
I was trying so hard to like drop some science on you.
Yeah.
And this is how I was doing it. You know, the...
No, not a tiger. One of those saber-toothed.
Yeah, the thingamajobs.
It's a striped cat. Giant striped.
What's the Provo one must be a really low-league hockey team.
Cougars. I just passed the BYU. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, well, he said Predators. The Provo Predator. There's a local hockey team here.
I don't know what I was just curious. I thought it was. I just thought it was funny. Man.
I played hockey forever. I know it's
really
funny. Yeah, because I was like everybody on the team was big, but you need one guy that you just can't catch. And that was me.
Is that usually a position specific thing? Or
only in the very, very introductory level. At a higher level, they would just beat on me.
Just kind of like the guy who catches the golden snitch in Harry Potter.
Well, I would be able to like, because everybody was so big, mm-hmm. I was able to just go wherever I wanted.
Going between people's legs.
Yeah, and then I would score a lot so that if they hit me, then somebody would hit them. So I had like a little, that kind of, you know. You talk to my brother.
Man.
Yeah. It probably wasn't healthy at all.
Did you get into fights ever? Did you throw the gloves off and punch people?
I mean, they did. I didn't. Yeah.
That always amazed me about watching hockey. I was like, it's just part of the game that people just slug that each
just
other in
accepted.
The face.
You know, it's the last, not anymore, because now Disney's involved, but it was the last real gladiator sport. Now MMA, I guess, would be the last real true gladiator sport.
Yeah.
Because even in hockey now, because of the shields and everything, if you hit them, it's going to hurt your hand way more than it's going to hurt their face.
That's true.
So, like, you're not going to hurt anyone by hitting them. And,
yeah.
You
know. Unless you rip their helmet off first.
That's
get in there.
That's when if they do that, that means they really mean it.
Yeah.
They're not just doing it to, like, make a statement. You know?
Yeah. Do you watch MMA? Do you like that stuff?
I kind of do.
Really?
In fact, before I go on, I often watch either boxing or MMA just so I go in the right headspace, you know, because I'm, you know, working on some places where, you know, you got to go and, you know, find the biggest guy and take his shoes or else they're not going to pay attention. So it's not all dry bar comedy, guys.
You're talking about like doing crowd work, right? Like
sometimes
identifying
Yeah, so I don't like to start with crowd work because then some people out there doubt whether you have material. Yeah. So you gotta, for me, like that's how I do it. I go about and I get some licks in, and then if they're not paying attention, then I'll go get someone. You know,
yeah.
But I go after myself first, so it doesn't look I'm just like, you know, attacking people.
Right.
Do you wait for them to instigate it or you just really go for them right away?
If it's a hard room, I'll go after them
because
it's going to come after me anyway. But if I'm not sure, I usually wait. I usually wait for them to annoy the room so that they're all already on my side when I go after them.
Yeah.
I did one, it was a carnival ship, and there was a fight that broke out during the show because this one table, it was a bachelorette party. Taylor's wife was there getting a
don't
dance.
Don't tell me the details. Yeah.
Magic Mike was doing his thing. And then the other table, they couldn't hear me. And then they started yelling at them to shut up. And then those two started fighting. They turned the lights up. And then I started announcing it from the stage like it was a sport.
Oh, that's funny.
And all the slippers coming off. This isn't good, folks. We've seen this before. It was funny.
Man.
I had to finish the set, too, like, after it was all done. Like, all right. Does anybody else want some? Who else? Yeah.
Did they stick around or they get thrown out? Or were
they got thrown out. Yeah. Both tables got thrown out.
Wow.
That's a little scary. How does it feel to still be on the boat with those people after that?
I know. That's the thing. Like, I think that was a Roseanne line. She said she bombed and then she just spent, oh no, it was Rosie O'Donnell. And then she spent the whole week in her cabin. Because like, if you bomb in a club, you just go into the world, but you got to live with those people for a week. Right. There's a whole, yeah. It's such a funny thing on the ship, because if you really connect and you really hit them, you're the quarterback of the football team for the week. You know, mm-hmm. everybody wants to buy you a drink and you da-da. And if you don't, it's just, if people don't make eye contact with you and, yeah. oh, it's just, if they don't say anything, that means you bombed. I mean, that means you ate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. This stresses me out thinking about it.
I hate when people avert their gaze. Oh, I'm like...
Yeah. Acknowledge me.
I'm a human.
Fill the void.
Or if they tell you that you were brave, or you'll get them next time. Like, I thought it was funny.
Oh my god. I want to kill that person. Or you could say nothing.
Yeah.
Which is way better.
Yeah.
I thought you were good. Oh. Jeez. And then sometimes, you know, you go up there and it's like you're just like, what happened? Why are you all being so weird, you know, like what happened here? It's and all of you, it can't be all of you.
Yeah.
You came to a comedy club, you expected, you know. So I don't know, man. I have this thing, like, especially on the ships, like, you can't afford a bad show, not even one. So I will get in their lap. I will make it a thing, you know, before I eat it. Somebody's going to be on stage with me. There's going to be physical contact. I'm not going down. Wow. So you guys can be weird, but if you are, I'm going to really come get you.
Take note of that, Jordan.
I'm feeling the MMA thing coming through here without you talking, you know, about it.
Yeah, I know. I've got this pent-up aggression. Right? Trying to, like, my therapist.
Life just, on the seas, huh?
Yeah.
That's how it be sometimes.
For some, you know. Some of them are perfectly lovely. You know, I prefer the clean comedy audience, to be honest, but I really had to learn to do it the other way for all of the clubs where they don't want to, it's like they said to Jim Gaffigan, so why don't you do any of that stuff? He goes, oh, I have plenty of jokes over there, but I want to talk about bacon. You know? And you can't kind of go back and forth between those.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel that way too.
That's funny.
There's so many other funny things that are happening. Jay Leno has a great quote too. He goes, it's not that we're offended, it's that we're bored, you know.
Yeah,
sure. Like, it's at some point we kind of get beyond all of the lower chakra stuff, and there's so much absurdity happening naturally in the world, you know, right, that we have to draw on.
So can we hear a little bit about your path to comedy? When were you someone who always knew they wanted to do comedy from a young age?
Yeah, I did. I didn't let myself know it because it wasn't smart. It wasn't feasible. You know, you can't really make your live. Oh, all those voices, man.
Yeah.
Those are the people. Like, I wouldn't go back and kill baby Hitler. I'd go back and take those people out.
How many people is that, do you think?
I would say 100. Oh, yeah. 100 people, and they were like authority figures and bankers. Whoa. And career counselors and all the people who had little diplomas on the wall, all telling me that I couldn't do it. So to all of you.
This is sounding like a pretty great movie, like a John Wick time machine.
A comedian. It comes back in time.
That's exactly what it feels like. Yeah. That's what it feels like. You know, I'm not obviously on the billboards in Vegas, but all I ever wanted to do was make a living at comedy. And and they say, have you had any more success? I wake up every day and do the thing that I always wanted to do. How much more successful do I have to be to, you know, I don't know, man.
You need a degree. That's the one thing. You just need to have a degree on the wall to really put you there.
Yeah. I went to school. Speaking of mascots, I went to UC Santa Cruz. Banana Slugs. Off to a
really
for real. that's how competitive we were. You'd be defeated by salt.
Did another school choose your mascot?
That feels like they
the
lost
predators,
a bet.
The saber tooth. Yeah, but I went to school and I looked down every avenue, the things that I thought interested me, and it all filled me with not just dread, but kind of like a foreboding. you know, like right. looking like something out of Harry Potter, looking down the dark forest, and comedy or not, just that's the only thing that makes sense to me because it's all so absurd. Like once you've gone down the rabbit hole and you've looked at things from above, it's just all so silly what's happening down here. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't play any of those other roles in the, you know, theater's big play on Earth, you know.
Right.
You two have both had Harry Potter references, and I feel like I have to do one to really
I think you pretty much podcast. Are a Harry Potter reference, yeah. given the color of your hair and whatnot.
That was Ron
like
Weasley.
Like Ron Weasley?
Oh, man.
Do you, how's this? Do you guys know... you have your own language going on. Do you know... his name is Jim Taveray. He's a comedian with the bald head, and he played innkeeper Willie the innkeeper?
Or Tom?
Yeah, Tommy the innkeeper.
Yeah, he came and did a drive-by special last season.
Yeah. He's like such he's in that movie, and mm-hmm. he's such a quirky guy. Like, that is actually him. Like, he's not... Yeah.
Wait, we're talking about Harry Potter still? What movie is he in?
He's the
Prisoner of Azkaban, and he's the kind of... He plays character, like, bald, kind of hunched.
Yeah, I like that you're doing this not to the mic right now. That's good.
All right. Take two.
Don't lick the mic there, Taylor.
So he's an innkeeper. He's bald. He's hunched.
Okay.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. Third movie? He's a comedian, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And he brings a big stand-up bass, and he's got like 1,000 jokes about this. He's got a kid in there, and come on out. And he'll pull like a choo-choo train out of his. And it all sounds pretty campy, but it's not. It's just really vaudeville funny.
Uh-huh.
I can't stop laughing.
Well, that's cool.
That's See? Awesome.
Yeah, so that's going to be – so keep an eye out for that special because it's coming out – in the near future.
Oh, did he just record it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
How long does it take for it to come out?
That's a good question. probably like 6 months.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that your experience?
I think mine's been long.
Yours is coming out really soon.
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess I recorded September. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You better hurry. 6 months almost up.
I better get
it. I know.
I want to clarify to viewers, I do everything at Dry Bar. I film the special. I host a podcast.
Promo.
I often write. I mean, I've written most of Jordan's.
Yeah, material. He wrote my whole special. That's
in
6
months, I'm going to look back and cringe on what I did today.
Yeah.
You're here to record another one.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I wanted to do music. I think I might, after all, add that in. Like, I went through and I just picked the stand-up that I thought would be the best for it. But I love to play guitar, man. It's like, and I know what you think out there about a guitar act, and I don't care. I don't care.
I feel like that's something that's mainly in comedians' minds. Like, the audience doesn't have those notions about,
the audience doesn't care. It's the purists, the hack police. But so long as I'm not, and by the way, I am not, I have no problem picking the low-hanging fruit. That to me is not hack. That's just, it was there. I'm going to take it if people laugh. And it's not, you know, that it's organic. It's real. Like, it's something that I found funny. And with a guitar, it's the same way. Like, and I don't write like parodies and stuff. I just kind of have fun with stuff that was just sitting there.
Yeah.
That I found funny, and nobody would ever know unless you do it, right?
Right. And you talked about how you have this like rock star
complex. I think I always wanted to be like a legit musician. But writing a song is a lot harder than, you know, that's why there's so many one-hit wonders. And then even the biggest stars, they're not writing all those. They, even when their name is on them, they're often buying it and saying it's from them.
Right.
You know, Bruno Mars didn't write all those songs. He's a great singer, great dancer, talented. He's wrote some of them, co-wrote some of them, but you know, it's very few people that are prolific like the Beatles or,
right.
you know, Billy Joel or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially with comedy, you can't write a whole song. It's all jab and move. You guys got to keep moving.
Right.
So get the laugh and get out. If you're in there trying to entertain them musically, then you should just be a musician. but I'm in there just to get the laugh.
Right.
And so it and here's the thing with stand up, you just you can put an idea out there and see who salutes, and you know where the charge is and where to put your time. With a song, with music, you got to work the whole thing out. You can't be looking at your fingers because that's like stuttering, and then find out that it was never funny to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more. I spend a lot of time on stuff that will never see the light of day.
Yeah, other art forms that, not to, I don't know, comedy and art forms, sometimes people get upset by putting those two words together. Are you okay with saying comedy's an art form?
I'm not okay with the art part.
Other types of entertainment.
That's going a little overboard for me.
What you do, but Jordan, definitely.
Yeah, like my, it's avant-garde.
Are you, but, you play music?
What's that? Do I play music? Uh-huh. No, I mean, I can play the guitar, but I can't, not well. But I was just thinking that comedy, you have immediate call and response of how well you're doing.
Yeah.
And which can be hurtful when it's poor, but but that's actually a good thing to learn from it. But like what you're saying about music or any other type of arts, like filmmakers, they make the whole thing and they put it out there.
Yeah, exactly. That's so stressful. A better analogy, actually. You may do a whole movie and not realize it was never good.
Right.
I liked The Cherub. Well, I liked it.
Yeah.
You have it. No,
it was brave of you to put that out.
No, yeah. I was talking about that one person. Well, I liked you.
Oh, yeah. I told this on the podcast before, but one time I did a short film and then showed it to my family, my immediate family.
Whoops.
And over the course, it was like 20 minutes long. Over the course, it was just my family leaving one by one from the room to go like...
Do the dishes. You walked your family?
Yeah.
That's hysterical, man.
And at the end of the day, it was just me and my sister sitting in there watching it.
That's great.
But I think I've grown as a filmmaker. I see some problems with that particular film, so I don't put the blame completely on my very unsupportive family.
What'd you do wrong? What was wrong with it?
There's no tension in it. That's the main thing.
I thought it was like too thought provoking. It was too ahead of its time.
Yeah, it wasn't ready. People weren't ready for it.
But you gotta put a little of The Bear in there.
Like the TV show?
You haven't watched The Bear?
No, a literal bear. You should get one for
with the things. No, that you haven't watched The Bear?
I have watched The Bear. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about tension. That's nonstop. Yeah. Nothing but tension.
Oh yeah, yes, chef.
Yes, chef. I need to watch that one. Everybody,
you haven't watched it?
No, I need to. It's like on my list. Yeah,
it's not everything you love.
Food? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I wasn't saying that.
Family dysfunction. Oh yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis. She played the. Wow.
Yeah, I've only seen part of the first season. Maybe the first three episodes.
Part of the first season.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you stop watching it?
You've been driving around town all week, and you haven't been watching that. <you're>
Another callback.
We can't make these callbacks when we can't cut it initially.
Can you tell us a little bit about your first dry bar experience and how that was coming here, how you felt about it?
It was too early, obviously. Just you just told me that my CVS joke was on there from a time when they were still selling cigarettes. I think it was the very first season, and I was just known as a clean comic. And I still am. Even though half the time I now work completely in the other direction. I just respect whoever's in front of me. I do a lot of churches. I probably, when I'm not in clubs and on the ships, I just did Foursquare in Oregon and came home. But I love like I was saying earlier, the clean audiences, because they're willing to use their imagination, and it becomes theater of the mind. And that's way more fun than just constantly going for the, basic stuff, the dumb stuff. But the first dry bar, looking back, I was just too early to it. I wish they would take it down. Can you take it down? Can we do that?
People love it. People don't want it taken down.
People have been nice, but I look back and I cringe on that.
I think that shows evolution is, I don't know. I feel like you should always look back a couple of years and be like, oh, that wasn't.
But you can watch somebody and know how many years in they are just by the video. And I'm like, oh, what is that dude doing on TV in any capacity, Dry Bar was really nice. I really do love what you guys have going on here. I mean, you walk in, it smells like you know, cinnamon candles, and it's just, everything's very nice. And
Taylor's whole, in charge of the smells here too.
You're aromatherapy guy.
I picked Jordan's cologne.
Nice. But just the way it's marketed and packaged, and just the whole production is so top notch. I felt like that guy that I was 12 years ago, or where, how long have you been doing it?
Me?
No, the dry bar.
Oh,
coming up on, I think, around
7 years.
Around 10 years.
It had to be 10. That had to be 10 years ago.
Okay.
Really? So whatever. Yeah, I haven't done that joke in 10 years for sure.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So, whatever season one was, but I'm watching me from that time going, you don't deserve to be on this as part of this yet. You'll get there, bro. You'll get there. You know, now watch me totally tank today. And then somebody's going to come up, well, I liked it.
Yeah. just don't forget to watch your MMA before. I'm going to go in.
You know who I watch? I watch Mike Tyson. Like the way he would enter the ring, I feel like that's how I need to be when it's go time. You know, you could screw around and have fun, and we're all joking, but you know, you kind of, you have to go in ready, like that, that kind of ready.
Isn't it? He's fighting Jake Paul, man.
Mike Tyson is?
Yeah, yeah. Tyson's going to fight Jake Paul.
Whoa.
For real. Jake Paul's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's like a beastly
dude. He was a YouTuber that then became MMA. I don't really understand his trajectory, to be honest.
He was a YouTuber that he went on to fight box.
Yeah.
And then he fought like real legit boxers, and he won.
That's crazy.
Like, he was totally committed to it, which is really admirable. But now Mike Tyson, he's like, hey, I just can't fight anymore. You know, I'm just at peace with the world, and I just want to sell my medicine. You know, he's got like a dispensary now. I'm like, right. That guy's not ready to fight. He's going to have to watch boxing before he goes on.
He's going to watch your set.
He's going to watch my special. And he's going to go, that guy isn't ready for that.
Yeah. And I'm not ready for this fight either. And he'll crumble.
How old is Mike Tyson now?
57.
Okay.
But, you know, you could Gordie Howe was played till 52 in the NHL, which is way more brutal than, well, maybe not than boxing, but it's a very physical sport. So it's, I don't know, if you have the right mindset, but I've heard him talk to Joe Rogan, and he just wants love and peace and flowers, and I just want to raise my pigeons and no one bother me, you know, and I respect that too. He could be a banana slug at UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
But then he took a fight with a guy who's just full of testosterone and has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. That guy might hurt him.
Wow. Why do you think he's doing it?
Money.
Yeah.
I thought he just wanted to feed his pigeons, though.
Well, it takes money to feed the pigeons, man.
He's feeding them high quality stuff. Pigeons, it's not cheap.
Yeah, he wants to give them the good stuff. Even his birds are stoned now.
Picturing Mike Tyson like that, the lady in Home Alone who feeds the pigeons just out in Central Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I like Mike Tyson, though. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
He can hang. Have they done a Mike Tyson roast? Like a Comedy Central?
I don't know. It seems like it'd be a good one.
It'd be a great one. You start with his face. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I love seeing him on Norm MacDonald's podcast. Did you see
those
are super funny.
Did you see him with Hasbulla? Do you know who Hasbulla is?
Hasbulla?
Is that how you say his name?
I think so, yeah.
He's like 21 years old, but he has a condition where he looks like a toddler.
Oh, really?
Or he might be old. He's an adult.
Wow.
He hangs out with MMA.
He's
MMA
a little
fighters,
person?
Like, yeah, but yeah. It's not the same as just like little person. It's a very specific
super
thing.
Super rare, yeah.
Yeah, he really looks like a toddler.
Yeah.
And he was sitting with Mike Tyson, and I don't think Mike Tyson knew.
Oh.
So Mike Tyson picks him up and nuzzling his face. And his son was going, no, don't do that, don't do that.
How old was he? I'm a 42-year-old man, stop it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in his 20s or something, yeah. I don't know.
That's what I love about Brad Williams is that he's a little person, but he's completely at peace with it, and there's nothing you could say that will offend him. I love Brad Williams, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super funny.
Yeah.
He randomly tweeted a picture of me.
Did
it was
he
a
really?
Weird thing.
But, really?
Because he tweeted, he must have been looking at Wise Guy's website. Yeah. and all of a sudden people are tagging me in this thing, and he put a picture of me and he says, it looks like Santino and I had a baby.
That's great. That's
and
a great.
So I replied like, thanks dad or something like that. But
that's good.
It was just very random. Like, why is Brad Brad Williams tweeting a picture of me right now?
I did open for him once, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The Wise Guys.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I told him I'll try to get on his shows next
what
time he's
a great
here.
Club. That Wise Guys is such an awesome little club, man.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky here. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, you know, except for Brad Garrettson.
Talk to the camera, make sure.
So Brad Garrett,
he's for those of you who don't know, he is the big brother in Everyone Loves Raymond. Yeah. But he's also in everything. He's in the new, there's one on Netflix now. He's, again, like a main player, so... He was like the sandwich guy on the commercial. He's always
that was a good campaign. Jimmy John's commercials with him as like the sandwich mob boss. That's right. That was really funny.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Jersey Mike. It was the other one.
I think it was Jimmy John's. Right?
That's it. Right. Yeah. He's such a good dude. Like I've worked with him before, and when we did it, my wife came with me, and she came back, and she wanted to meet Brad Garrett, and he picked her up and made her feel like family. He was such a like an old school. Maybe that's why I'm plugging him so much. He's like old school Vegas, you know, just gentleman. And then he went out and roasted everybody. It was so good, man.
Oh, that's so. Yeah, funny. That's I would love fun. To see him. Yeah. So he lives in Vegas, and he
lives in L.A., but it's his club, and it's really well run. That's even if I didn't know him and had only performed there, it's the best quality club in all of Vegas. They have some good ones, you know. Jimmy Kimmel's club is nice, but this one just and it's run by a woman, Cindy, who used to run Zany's before that. So she knew her stuff already, and now she's totally in charge, and it's just really good at running a club. All the things you would want. Kind of like what Rogan did in Austin.
That's
like
cool.
Somebody who understood all the needs of the comedians and the audience, and it's just all clicking.
But he's there pretty frequently, right?
Rogan?
Brad Garrett at his club, or no?
Well, he's on the show now, so I don't know. I got lucky. Well, I don't know if it was lucky. You don't want to be on the same show as him.
Yeah.
Because he'll open with 30, and then he'll come back, and he'll be like heckling you from behind you while you're on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he came up and roasted me. He was telling me about my... he goes, can you eat a sandwich? You look like my x-ray. Come on.
That's
brilliant, man.
That's funny.
Told me I had the JFK smile, and I was going to get shot.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's a colossal compliment to be roasted by him.
Yeah. Well, when he's there, he does open, and even when he closes, he's kind of closing. So even the headliner, when he's there, will only do 15, 20 minutes, maybe, just because he'll finish when he finishes. And if he's killing, he's just going to keep going until everybody's exhausted. And then you go
then
on.
Then you get to go
yeah.
up.
Yeah. I wasn't headlining. I was featuring on that one when he was there.
That's a better spot then, it sounds like, if he's going to do a ton of time.
The better spot's in the audience on the night.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it was such a – when you're in the presence of people who are really good, there's osmosis. I traveled when I was starting out. Brian Callen took me under his wing. Brian Callen?
Yeah.
Love that guy, man. I know he got canceled and everything. Whatevs. I don't know. But for me and for everybody around him, he was such a gentleman. He – paid me $200 extra on my check, and I never knew it until much later because he thought that they were kind of cheating me. So he paid me some out of his, and also I would record his auditions. But to that, like, he's in a lot of movies like The Hangover and other things. And when somebody's really good, the air just leaves the room, and all of a sudden there's just like this different person in front of you, and I'm like, oh, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, forget it. I don't want to act at all, man. Like, I'm not going to catch up to that ever. But when you're doing like comedy, I feel like I'm going to I just want to be the best comedian I can be. And we were talking earlier how you're always the next step and the next step. And you're always going to have that almost angst about getting to the next level. And that's always going to drive me.
Yeah.
I used to do acting as a kid. Like, I was a commercial actor, and I did the JCPenney ad. And the I did underwear for JCPenney. And my math teacher put it on the wall.
Oh, my God.
I can't even hear it dry bar tell you the things were written on that thing about me.
What age was that?
I was in ninth grade. I was
brutal time.
I almost had to change schools. But then that continued. I know I kept acting, and I kept going on auditions later because it wasn't smart to be a comedian. The banker told me. The guy with the diploma told me. And I was on my way to an audition, and I had like a nervous breakdown, like a panic attack, and with the sweat, and I couldn't breathe, and I had to pull over. And it wasn't until I decided that I was not only going to not go on the audition, but never go on ever any acting calls ever again, that this peace washed over me. Mm-hmm. And then I had to make my living only at comedy without any of that supplemental income. And even though I had to sleep in my car and never have a weekend or a holiday, and my wife slept in the car with me at times, there was such peace. Because that's what I really wanted to do. I finally decided to do the thing that I really wanted to do instead of hedging my bets. Yeah. It's almost like surfing. If you're not totally committed, you're going to eat it. You can't have a backup plan because you'll take it. So right. It wasn't until I found that I really had that peace, and then all the other stuff followed. Do what you love, the money will follow. It's true. It just takes a while. You know?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I hope you get back into JCPenney ads.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're watching JCPenney, now I got dad body. No, I still have a 14-year-old body.
I can do ninth. Yeah, you can pull ninth grade for sure.
I think I could. Still wearing the same size pants.
Man, well, I think we're about out of time here. Is there anything you want to say to the Dry Bar fans? Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Well, my special is going to come out sometime in the future, between 6 months and 4 years from now. So watch that. And I just respect to all of you. I really love what Dry Bar is about. I love what you guys do. And if I could do only this kind of thing, I would definitely stick with it, because you found it's not just a clean audience, just people that want real stand-up. They want real imagination and what it's all really about, instead of it being like in some places, it's comedy is just foreplay almost, you know, and there's just so much to life. So you guys are killing it. Respect.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're killing it too.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it without comedians like you coming through, so. I don't know if I'm saying we. I'm not really. I'm just here on the podcast. He's the guy that runs Dry Bar right here.
Yeah.
All facets.
But legitimately.
I was just going to take this opportunity to say that I'm CEO of Dry Bar.
Yeah, CEO of Dry Bar.
I own this building. The block.
Thank you so much. It's been truly awesome to talk.
Yeah,
thanks
for having me. You guys are awesome.
We're excited to see your new special, too. I hope it is.
Yeah.
Good luck with the recording tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I hope that you are able to do some music stuff.
I am. I'm going to probably maybe just do, if only like 7 minutes of it. It's hard to, it takes a little time to transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to we're over now. Never mind.
No, it's, you can.
When you go to a concert, the first couple songs, and people aren't into it, but by the end, there's a cumulative effect. There's a hypnosis that goes on. So when I go into music, I have to start the hypnosis over.
Yeah.
And that's why on a short set, I usually don't break it out.
Well, this crowd easily hypnotized. So
yeah, this is the best audience. If you could clone these people and like make some kind of algorithm for the, you know, Ready Player One comedy world that's coming up.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be the resident
of this. Yeah. Well, great. Thank you, Jason, and thank you to the viewers. And thank you, Holland. We've got an extra guest in the studio today.
Yeah, it's nice having a live studio audience. Thanks for being here, Holland.
But thank you guys for watching. Make sure to leave a review and check out drybarcomedy.com for upcoming specials and merch. And we will see you next time. Bye, folks.
Bye.